Well, pleasant good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to you all. Texas is a special place. Jan and I lived there for 10 years. Both of our children were born in the great state and Republic of Texas. Some of you may know of an area of Texas called the Hill Country. So the Hill Country is between Austin and San Antonio and out a little bit west, a beautiful part of Texas. In the Hill Country, there's a small town called Wimberley, Texas. I've never been there. Most likely, I don't know if any of you have. But it was somewhat famous for something that was discovered back in 1850. Settlers came upon an amazing discovery, and they call it Jacob's Well. This wasn't just a small pool of water, but a magic fountain. It was 12-foot in diameter, and it could bubble up to 5-foot tall, crystal spring water. So almost the size of the stage and 5-foot tall bubbling water. And I could imagine Texas, a hot August day, settlers really thirsty, worn out. They come around a corner and they see this bubbling water. They called it Jacob's Well because they viewed it was just like biblical magnificence. So question is, what do you think the settlers said when they first saw it? Maybe it was, well, well, well. Maybe not, but we don't know. We can't prove it either way. But the title of today's message is, well, well, well. I'd like to talk about Jacob's Well. Jacob's Well is mentioned in the Bible. So when you think about Jacob's Well, what comes to mind? Some of you might think about, well, Jacob was looking for a wife. And he saw a lady named Rachel. And he goes up to the well. And do you know what Jacob would have said then? Well, he didn't speak English, so he might have said, bier, 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 well, 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 but that wasn't Jacob's well. That was Laban's well. Jacob's well is not specifically mentioned in the Old Testament, but we'll look at one scripture where it's inferred, and then we're going to focus on the message is where Jacob's well is mentioned in the New Testament and how it connects us to God's plan. So let's start in Genesis chapter 33, where we'll see the one inference of Jacob's well in the Old Testament, and then we'll focus on the one mention of Jacob's well in the New Testament. So in Genesis chapter 33, in verse 18, Genesis chapter 33, in verse 18, where it says, "Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. He came from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. And there he bought a parcel of land where he had pitched his tent." Now, it doesn't say exactly that there was a well on this land. It says he spent 100 pieces of money. It doesn't even say exactly what. And it's from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father. What all concordances, and in fact, Jewish, Samaritan, Christian, and Muslims all agree that this refers to Jacob's well. So rarely do all four agree. And that Jacob's well was at the foot of Mount Gerizim. So what happened was Jacob had his livestock. He wanted to buy some land. The land had to have water to take care of his animals. And that was where he bought land that became Jacob's well. But now let's move to actually where Jacob's well is mentioned in the New Testament and focus on the story and how this connects us to God's plan. So please turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 5, or sorry, 4 and verse 4, where it says, it talks about Jesus Christ, and it said, "But Jesus Christ needed to go through Samaria," so he had been in Jerusalem, and we'll catch up on that in just a moment, but then he's going through Samaria. It's a 40-mile journey. He came to a city in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. For Jacob to have a plot of land to give to Joseph, that would have been the land that Jacob bought. And then verse 6, "Now Jacob's well was there." It's the only mention of Jacob's well in the Bible specifically. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour." Now we know biblical days are sunset to sunset. Roman days were 6 a.m. start. So the sixth hour of the day at that point was 12 o'clock noon. 12 o'clock noon, heat of the day, Jacob's well, Jesus Christ is thirsty, he's there. That well is supposedly 35 feet deep. So it's not something you can just go take a cup and say, okay, here I am, I'm thirsty, get some water from it. 35 foot deep, there had to be a rope and a bucket in order to get some water from it. So at the 6 hour or 12 o'clock noon, there's a woman from Samaria that came to draw water. Now she came by herself. Ladies would typically draw water, but they would do it morning and night when it was cooler. She was there by herself, and we understand the story. She was there because she's embarrassed. She's lonely. She didn't want to be around other people. So she came at noontime to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," and his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So far we know Jesus Christ came to Jacob's well. There is a Samaritan lady there that he asked to give him a drink of water. Now here's a question. What do you think Jesus Christ said when he saw the Samaritan lady at the well? He could have said in any language whatever he wanted to say. He could have said, well, well, well. But if he spoke in Aramaic, at that point it would have been, Maya Noah, Maya Noah, Maya Noah. But whatever Christ said to the Samaritan lady at the well, he then asked her to get a drink of water for him. So the rest of this message, let's dig into what happens next at this well. But first of all, let's think about the context. So the context of the book of John, as I was studying this, it became much more real to me that the first three gospels are synoptic and that they're very descriptive and they're very similar. So if you have a harmony of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those chapters, those stories are very synonymous, very similar. They might show some different aspects, but they're very close to each other. But John is a different animal. John's a completely different book. And one of the things that hit me was this. I did a Google search on how old was John when he wrote the book of John, and trying to compare that to how old Matthew, Mark, and Luke were when those gospels were written. Now, for the first three gospels, no exact search came back to say exactly how old they were, but most people think that they were written before the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So chances are Matthew, Mark, and Luke would have been written by people in their 50s. And in their 50s, they would have been talking about events that took place when they were in their 20s. So I'm 55. So if I'm thinking back to college stories, that would be about the time frame of somebody in their 50s writing about something that happened when they're in their 20s. Now, Google, who I don't know how they know this number exactly, and I don't think it's exact, but they said John was 99 years old when he wrote the book of John. Maybe not 99, but let's say he's in his 80s or 90s. So now instead of a 50-something person talking about college days as far as that time gap, now it's a grandfather. It's somebody in his 80s or 90s at a time when people didn't live that long typically back in those days. So to have a grandfatherly-like approach write the book of John, a different aspect. The other thing that's different is that he probably had a chance to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They were written years before John wrote the book of John. So maybe he was looking at it reflectively and also saying, what were the things that happened that I'd like to make sure to write down and capture that weren't written in those first three books? So that might be one of the reasons why it's more reflective instead of descriptive, and it's different, telling different stories, different aspects than the first three. But if you think about how John starts, so in John 1, the others went through lineages. How does John 1 start? In the beginning was the Word. So that's a completely different take at how the beginning starts there. Then at chapter 2, it was his first Passover, Jesus Christ's first Passover going to Jerusalem. Chapter 3 is the only mention of Nick at night, the original Nick at night, but Nicodemus. John 3:16 then was mentioned. That wasn't brought out in the other Gospels. This is what John said. Hey, I want to make sure everybody knows this part of what happened when Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem. Then we come up to Jacob's well in chapter 4. Last thought as far as this context or background. If any of you were going to be the chief of staff or the travel planner for Jesus Christ when he came to earth, who do you think you would have set up the first meetings with? Maybe the high priest at Jerusalem and say, here's the very Son of God, and Jesus Christ can come and straighten out the high priest and talk through with all of the Pharisees what really is happening. That meeting didn't happen. What about going to Rome, visiting Caesar, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is here on the earth? That didn't happen. The first miracle, turning water into wine, is kind of a surprising miracle, right? Then there's the visit with Nicodemus. The second miracle, if you can consider it a miracle that John highlights, is here at Jacob's well. But now, who is the person involved in the story of Jacob's well? A Samaritan lady. So let's read a little bit more about this. In chapter 4 and verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews had no dealing with Samaritans. So this isn't a time to go deep into why did the Jews and the Samaritans not get along. There were all kinds of problems. But consider this. I was in Cleveland a few years ago, driving through a bad part of town with an Uber driver. And I said, I bet that you've driven through some bad parts of town before. He said, yes. He said, I've seen the worses of the worses. Now, the Samaritan woman at the well, from this perspective, the worses of the worses. So we'll get into this. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Remember, it's a 35-foot deep well. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? We'll jump down to verse 16. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. You've well said that, Jesus said. I have no husband because you've had five husbands and one who you have now is not your husband and that you spoke truly. So the worsest of the worsest. Jesus Christ didn't go to Caesar. He didn't go to the high priest. A Samaritan who was separate from Jews, a lady who had all kinds of problems, that's who Jesus Christ went to with this miracle. The lady then said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Your Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, which he's pointing to Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we worship what salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming. And now the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So we can continue on. In verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. So Barclay said that she left it because she's so excited she wanted to go tell people, she left it behind. There's a chance it could have been a senior moment that she left her water pot behind. But whatever it was, she left the water pot. She then went to the city and told the men, come and see a man who told me all these things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. So here's the lady, the Samaritan lady, at the well with Jesus Christ. She runs to the city, leaves her water pot behind, tells the people, I think I've seen the Christ. And now the last couple of parts of this chapter I'd like to highlight. In verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you say there's 4 months and then comes the harvest? I look at you, look at the fields, they're white for harvest. I hadn't pictured this before. When Christ was saying that the fields are ripe with harvest, where was he at? He was in Samaria. He was at the foot of Mount Gerizim. Now, Mount Gerizim was used for the blessings and cursings with Gerizim and Ebal years before, but he's in the heart of Samaritan territory. He's at the foothill of Mount Gerizim, and that's where he's saying the fields are white with harvest. So then verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. And why did they do so? Because of the word of the woman who testified that he told me all that I ever did. So now when I said that Jacob's well could connect us to God's plan, here's the verse I'd like to highlight. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 more days. Many more believed because of his own word. And then in 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior for the world. So Christ came as a Savior for the whole world that John highlighted. He highlighted in his message to Nicodemus. He highlighted in his message to the Samaritan lady at the well that he is the Savior of all mankind. So that's a good lesson for all of us. Christ came to save all of us. He came to save the entire world. He came to save the best of the best. He came to save the worstest of the worstest and everything in between because there's an entire plan for all mankind. So that is the good news from Jacob's well. Well, 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 bier, 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 Maya Noah, Maya Noah, Maya Noah.